Come again to the fifth chapter of Mark's Gospel tonight. I want to look at the portion of Scripture that we've been skipping over. I've been looking the last two Sunday nights at Jairus and his healing of his daughter, or if you would, raising her from the dead. But in the process, we skip verses 25 through 34, and I would read them tonight. Passage you're all familiar with. Mark 5, beginning verse 25. A certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, and knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." And this is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. As I said, we're all familiar with this story, the healing of the woman. And I tried to look at it with some measure of freshness. And one thing about this woman stood out as a message for me, and I believe for all of us. That message is simply, don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. She had every reason to give up hope. First, she was sick, and that's always bad. But she had a lingering illness. She'd been sick for 12 years. She'd been to all the doctors that she could find and received all of their treatment. And instead of getting better, she only got worse. Now, quite frankly, I believe if I had some problem, some illness for 12 years, and had gone to all the doctors and done what they told me to and only gotten worse, I'd lose all hope of ever getting well. But this woman didn't give up hope. She held on to her hope. Her sickness caused her not only to bear the pain, discomfort, and weakness brought about by her illness, but also because of the type of illness that she was rendered continuously unclean as far as her religion was concerned, and thus was shut off from the worship of God with the people of God and from the fellowship of her friends. Think of it. She couldn't go to the temple to worship. This was forbidden. She was not supposed to be out in public, for everyone and everything that she touched or that touched her became ceremoniously unclean. In Leviticus 15, 25, 27, it's laid down that anyone with an illness like this woman was unclean. Every bed she lay on, every chair she sat on was unclean. And everyone who touched anything that she had touched was unclean. Now, if I was sick and at the same time shut off from the worship of God, shut off from the worship and being with the family of God, and being shut off from family and friends, and if this condition continued for 12 years, I don't know how I could maintain any hope at all. But this woman didn't give up her hope. Not only was she sick and outcast from her friends and worship, her sickness had brought her to poverty. In seeking healing over the 12-year period, she had spent everything that she had. And now she's a pauper. She might have been wealthy before. She might not have been. But now she had nothing. She had spent everything that she had seeking a cure. And again, had only gotten worse. Now, if something like this were to happen to me, I just don't know if I could have any hope left. Sick for 12 years. Seen all the doctors and getting worse all the time. Shut out from worship of family and friends. Spent all the money until none is left. But she didn't give up hope. I thought about her and I remembered, it came on it somehow, the 42nd Psalm. It must have been familiar to her, and maybe one anchor to which she clung. Listen to verse 3 and following in the 42nd Psalm. The psalmist wrote, "My tears have been my food day and night, while they continue to say to me, 'Where is your God?' When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast." Psalm says, tears are my food night and day, but I remember how I used to go to worship with the people of God on a pilgrim feast. What a time that must have been. What a celebration. But now tears, food night and day. Doesn't this fit the woman in our passage? And the psalmist goes on, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me?" And I might say, why not? But the psalmist goes on, "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him." This psalm is a picture of this woman and the reason for her not losing hope. She remembered her experience with God in the past. She remembered the great times of worship. She remembered God and didn't lose hope. Her hope was ultimately not in the doctors, not in friends, not in her wealth, but her hope was in God. She says to all of us, don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. Hope in God. And now she has a fresh reason for hope. There's a new person who's come upon the scene. She heard reports about Jesus. What she heard, we don't know. However, what she heard caused her hope to rise up within her. What she heard brought her faith to a rolling boil. Somebody told her reports of what Jesus was doing. They told her with conviction and confidence and enthusiasm. They told her, and she heard the reports about Jesus. And I asked, who told her? And again, we don't know. We can't name the indispensable person or persons who told her about Jesus. However, without someone sharing their reports of what Jesus was doing, this woman would have never known about Jesus and never come to Him and never been healed. Somebody told her about Jesus. And what kind of reports are people hearing about Jesus from your lips and your life? Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses." What kind of witnesses are we? Are we excited about what Jesus is doing in our lives, in our church, in the lives of others? Are we sharing our reports about Jesus with conviction, with confidence, with enthusiasm, with joy? Are we living our lives so that our profession and our performance are one? Do our words about Jesus and our deeds for Jesus cause new hope to be born in someone? Does our faithfulness brighten our lives and the lives of those that we touch? This woman says to us, don't give up hope. Hope in God. And listen to Jesus. One other thing here. Hope, if it is to be effective, must cause us to act. If this woman had remained at home, if she had rested on her hope, saying, "I'm hoping in God. I've heard these reports about Jesus and His wonderful deeds. I believe that He can cure me." If she'd done this and nothing more, she'd never have been healed. But her hope caused her to act. She ventured out where she was not supposed to go. She ventured out into the crowd. She risked all on the possibility of touching Jesus. She was unclean. She wasn't supposed to be there, causing everyone who even accidentally touched her to be unclean. She was weak. She was sick. She was poor. She risked exposure and embarrassment and possibly even death. But hope that would not die. Hope in God. Hope boiling because of the report she'd heard about Jesus compelled her to go on. I've tried to imagine her in her weakened condition, trying to push her way through the crowd that surrounded Jesus. When Jesus asked the question, "Who touched me?" The disciples said, "People touching you all around." But she touched with a different purpose, a different reason. She didn't just touch accidentally. She touched intentionally, purposefully, believing. If she touched the hem of his garment, she'd be healed. Hope caused her to touch Jesus. "If I touch even his garments, I'll be made well." And she touched him. Touched him in hope. Touched him as an act of faith. Her hope and her faith combined with her action brought about healing. Immediately the hemorrhage ceased. Think of it. Day after day, week after week, month after month, weary year after weary year, she had been hemorrhaging. And then in faith, she touched Jesus, and immediately the hemorrhage ceased. Can you imagine her relief, her joy? She felt in her body that she was healed. For years she'd known ill health and weakness and discomfort and pain. For 12 years she'd never felt well. And then she touched Jesus and everything has changed. She's well. Her discomfort and her pain is gone. Her energy is renewed. Aren't you glad she didn't give up hope? And need I even say it? Our faith, our hope, without action, is dead. No matter how much or how little faith we may have, it is really of no benefit to us or to anyone else unless we use it, unless we put it to work, unless we plant it and let it grow and produce a harvest. Someone mentioned to me this week something I'd heard many times before, that most people in the church are just spectators. Read a book years ago about the church sitting up in the balcony, spectators watching the performance down below. Just spectators. You know, they come to church on Sunday, but they're all right by Monday. It's just a little habit they've acquired. Do nothing about it. Just claim to have faith, but it doesn't compel them to action, to loving deeds, to caring. This woman had had all the faith in the world, but hadn't put it into action. She'd never have been healed. Her faith caused her to act. And likewise for us, if we really have faith, if we really have hope, it will cause us to act. I want you to use your imagination if you can now and imagine that I was a farmer. Believe it or not, I thought at one time that's what I was going to be. And some of you might say, well, it's not too difficult to believe that you're supposed to be a farmer because you're not much of a preacher. But anyway, use your imagination and think of me as a farmer. You come to see me along in late February, early March, and you ask me about my plans for the year. What kind of crop do I expect to grow? Well, I say I have these beautiful and fertile fields. They could grow anything. But I also have some of the best corn seed that has ever been developed. And I have an ample supply of fertilizer that's been recommended by the agricultural experts. And I have all this beautiful farm equipment out here. I believe this year I'll grow corn. I don't see why I can't expect a bountiful harvest. I have the land, the seed, the fertilizer, the equipment. I have great faith that this year I'll have a record crop. And you say, well, that sounds good. When do you plan to plant your crop? And I look at you with a little bit of astonishment and say, plant? I'm not going to plant anything. I have the seed and I have the land and I have the fertilizer and I have the equipment and I believe that God will provide a bountiful harvest. I'm just going to trust God to do it all. I'm going to sit around and watch it happen. If you heard anybody with this kind of foolish talk, you think, I knew you didn't have much sense, and I always lost what little he had. For you know that regardless of the things that a person might have, if there is no planting and no cultivating, there will be no harvest. If we don't plant seed, there'll be no harvest. If you don't plant seed in the lives of your neighbors and friends for Jesus, there won't be any harvest. This is so true in our relationship with God. No matter how wonderful and abundant we may think our faith is, if it does not compel us to action, it's useless and barren and dead. Hold on to your hope. Don't let go. Hope in God, not people, places, or things. Hope in God. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. But don't stop there. Exercise your faith. Reach out. Touch people for Jesus. Sow your seed. Nurture your plants. Fertilize and cultivate and expect a harvest. And He will bring it to pass. I think there's much we can learn from this woman, but first, never give up hope. Never give up hope. Hope in God. As He's revealed in Jesus. And then don't just sit there. Exercise your faith. Reach out with your hope to touch Jesus and to touch people for Him. And then expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. Lord Jesus, we thank You that when we trust in You, and we sow in faith and we cultivate in work, that we can expect miracles. Help us in our day-to-day living never, never to lose hope. But always keep on keeping on with You. Knowing that when we cannot help ourselves, underneath of Your everlasting arms lifting us up. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.